Thank you for listening to Servants for Christ. In all that we do and all that we say, we want to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning us in as we get into the wonderful Word of God. For the next few minutes, let's take the beautiful Word of God and share it with each and every one of you as we have a sense of anticipation to take the Word of God and to listen to its truth for each and every one. I'm Daryl Bailey, Servants for Christ, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here, as we continue on in our series, Counting Down from the Top. Here in our second series, Upholding Integrity in a Culture of Deceit. I'm glad that as we started last Sunday night on this series, Counting Down from the Top, we explore the timeless wisdom found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 of the Ten Commandments. Instead of starting with the first commandment, I'm starting with the 10th commandment and going down to the first commandment. And I'm glad that when we look at that first commandment, it dealt with, or that number 10th commandment, it said, "You shall not covet it." I spoke out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 last time, and I'm glad that 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, each one of these, as it goes down, it deals with our relationship with others. It's the vertical, it's the community, it's the society, it's the family dynamics, the impersonal behavior, the social harmony, and that God influences our attitudes and our behavior. I'm glad that last time I talked about in Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet. And it dealt with being content with what you've got in our relationship with others. Amen. Here, as I talk about the scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. In other words, amen, as we look at it, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Here in this second series, it deals with truth. And so, I'm glad here, April the 14th, 2024, the 6th of Nisan, 5784, the Hebrew calendar, we begin to look at how that in our culture, often as we look at the essence of integrity, we're plagued by deceit. The commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, speaks to the foundational importance of truthfulness and honesty in human interactions. At its core, this commandment challenges us to uphold the dignity and the reputation of our neighbors by refraining from spreading falsehoods or participating in deceitful actions that could harm them. It reminds us, as men and women of God, of the profound impact that our words and actions can have on others, urging us to use our speech responsibly and with integrity. You say something about somebody, it's like going up on the tallest mountain and throwing a sheet of paper that says something out that blows all over the place. You'll never get it back because it's everywhere. Living in a world where misinformation and manipulation abound, this commandment serves as a beacon of moral guidance, calling us to stand firm in our commitment to truthfulness and to resist the temptation to engage in gossip, slander, or falsehood, or personal gain or gratification. As we reflect on Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, we strive to cultivate a culture in America of honesty, transparency, and mutual respect, where the bonds of trust are strengthened, the dignity of every individual is upheld. May this commandment, when we get done, inspire us to be beacons of integrity in a world that often values deception over truth. And so, here, Let's open up with a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with humble hearts, seeking your guidance, your wisdom. And Lord, as we get into your word, help us to understand the importance of truth in our lives. Grant us the courage to uphold integrity in the face of deceit. And bless, Lord, each and every one of us as we open our hearts to receive your message. Those listening on sermon audio, those listening, Father, out there on Facebook, Lord, I pray, may you give us the ability, Father, when we get done and when we speak about the vanishing of unchanging truth, the peril of deceptive words, and the triumph of a faithful witness, that we'll learn about thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen. All right, take your Bibles over to the book of Exodus, to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, as we look at counting down from the top. I'm glad the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. As we begin to look at this, we realize in America that there's a serious problem that's going on. We know that upholding integrity in a culture of deceit is very challenging today. But I'm telling you, ain't it exciting to see God at work when we refuse to compromise the truth? I want to tell you, every one of us, all of us, as we look and realize that the loss of absolute truth in the world today is really one of those things. We got some guys and women that can talk on both sides of their mouth and lie like they've never lied before, never blink an eye. That is the evil that's in this world today. We're looking at the loss of absolute truth. If America is indeed at the sad stage where honesty is being trampled in the dust, how did we get here? Huh? How did we get here? Well, I'm glad Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:14, judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. In a world flooded with information, oh, we're in the information world. You can tap into this. You can tap into that. And the concept of absolute truth seems to be fading away. We're bombarded with facts, but the lack of foundation of unchanging truth. And Isaiah lamented, truth has fallen in the street and our society has drifted for the mooring of God's truth and the consequences are dire. And so, when we look at the loss of absolute truth, one of the first things that we're coming across is the vanishing of unchanging truth. Boy, I tell you, the problem is not a lack of information. We know more and believe less than ever. We're drowning in a sea of facts, and in the last 30 years, we produce more information than in the previous 5,000 years, and nearly 50,000 books, 10,000 magazines are published in America every year. But we're told that a person who reads a newspaper, like one of the Times from one of the cities of Atlanta or Los Angeles or Chicago, gets more information in that one newspaper than a person who lived in the 16th century could get in 1 year. Those are the facts, but facts are no substitute for the truth. And so, information, the superhighway, is becoming a highway to hell because truth has been jettied along the way, and that's the world's word on truth. But what does God's word have to say about all of this? Upholding integrity in a culture of deceit. What did Isaiah said? He said, listen, judgment's turned away backward and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. And so, we see the picture of a traffic jam. Here are judgment. Here are justice. Here is equality. All backed up and they cannot get through. Because why? Because truth has fallen. Why did truth fall? Oh, let me tell you. She has been knocked down by professors of philosophy. She's been tripped by dishonest politicians. Woo, somebody say amen. She's been chloroformed by liberal preachers. Oh, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, oh, truth lies fallen in the street and the picture of America at the end of the 20th century. Good Lord, our job is to set truth back on her feet. We don't tell the truth. Listen, we're going to pay the consequences. And so the vanishing of an unchanging truth is out there today. The loss of absolute truth and the liability of a false witness. Who is the father? Who is the source of all this false witness? Man, it's none other than Satan himself. Jesus said to the unsaved Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not till the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." There's some liar, liar pants on fire out there. As I read John 8:44, everywhere in America, and every time you tell a lie, you're acting just like the devil. That's right. The devil's hanging around you everywhere you go. You need to understand that there's no uncertain terms, and you need to communicate the vital truth to your children. Lies aren't funny. They're not clever. They aren't black and white. They are sin, every one of them. And what are some of the sins of the tongue for which God holds every one of us in America, in the world, liable? Number one, slander. Because he says in John 14:6, that the truth, that he said the devil is a slanderer, amen. And he's a liar. And when you bear false witness, when you slander, you're just like the devil. But when you tell the truth, you're like the Lord Jesus, who is the truth in John 14:6. And so, in the Garden of Eden, he used his slander to corrupt our first parents. Satan slandered God's character, God's honesty, because God had told Adam concerning the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said in Genesis 2, verse 1, "And in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Eve repeated God's commandment to the devil when he tempted her, but he said, "Ye shall not surely die," in Genesis 3:4. The devil slandered the honesty and the goodness of God. And anyone who puts a question mark on the word of God is doing the work of the devil. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. Job was an upright man who loved God with all of his heart. And so God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" In Job 1:8. But Satan came right back with a terrible assault on Job's character. Satan said, in effect, "He doesn't really love you, God. The only reason he serves you is because you've bribed him. You've bought him off. You've given him all these good things. And he's never known any heartache. He's never known any trouble. He's playing you for a sucker. He just serves you for what he can get out of you." Oh, no. To attack God's people is one thing, but Satan was not content with that. He even came against the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, with his lies, temptations in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. But listen, I know that the devil is nothing but an old good nothing for nothing slanderer. He's no good. What are some of the sins of the tongue for which God holds us liable? Not only slander, but perjury. Satan is in the business of lying, and he's the father of the whole filthy business, and he's got a lot of children who are just like their daddy, who are these little children of Satan. Well, the perjurer is one of the devil's kids. Whoever appears in a courtroom and tells a lie is breaking the ninth commandment. And I saw it in the courtroom recently all over the news. And you can see it on Facebook, and you can see it on those, especially the ones that were going after President Trump, trying to make sure that he didn't run for president. It doesn't matter what people think. Truth is not decided by the vote of a multi or a vote of a jury, for that matter. Your calling from God is to speak the truth. They may think they got people fooled at the White House, that people voted them in the White House, but they're a flat liar. If you perjure yourself in a courtroom one day, you're going to answer for that in God's courtroom. And boy, what's going to fall in the courtroom of God in the coming days of the White House, when every one of them up there is going to have to give an account for every idle word they said? God help them. What are some of the sins of the tongue for which God holds us liable? Slander, perjury, spreading rumors is another one, amen. Boy, the devil's slanderous kids, the charge of false witnesses brought against Jesus with that. He said that he was going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 26, I'll tell you, Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. He was prophesying his own resurrection. But these people weren't interested in the truth. What they reported was a rumor that had not one syllable of truth in it. The trouble with rumors is they spread so much faster than the truth. D.L. Moody, the old shoe salesman from Chicago, he said a rumor could travel halfway around the world before the truth could get its boots on. Have you ever wondered why rumors are so popular, so readily listened to, spread by so many people? It's another evidence that the slander is still at work. Oh, my goodness. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when we look and we realize all of upholding integrity in a culture of deceit, the vanishing of an unchanging truth. Rumors are like the premature report of the death of great American writer Mark Twain. When Twain was in London, word somehow got back to the newspaper editors in New York that Twain either had already died or he was about to die. And the editor cabled his London correspondents to check on the truth of this rumor, which would be front page news if true. But it turned out that a cousin of Twain's in London had been seriously ill, but had recovered. And Twain sent the editor a message that ended with a statement, "Report of my death, greatly exaggerated," unquote. That's what rumors are, great exaggerations. And in Twain's case, the rumor led to a harmless rumor. Thank good Lord. What are some of the sins of the tongue for which God holds us liable? Slander, perjury, spreading rumors, flattery. Oh, man, the perjurer breaks the ninth commandment. The rumor monger breaks it, as so does the flatterer. Did you know that flattery is forbidden in the Word of God? Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." I'm not talking here about giving encouragement. You ought to give encouragement. I'm not talking about giving thanks. You ought to give thanks. I'm not talking about giving honor where honor is due. Encouragement, thanksgiving, and honor are all that lubricate life. But if somebody has done a good job, say so. Encourage people if they need uplifting. But I thank God flattery neither encourages nor honors people, and it's a way of using people. The psalmist in 55:21, the picture of a flatterer, he says, "The words of the mouth were smoother than butter, but wool was in his heart." Have you ever met people like that? They flatter you to your face, but it's amazing what they say behind your back. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, when we look at all of these ones and what they do today in the world, what are some of the sins of the tongue for which God holds us liable? Insinuation. You can look at when Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees insinuated that he was an illegitimate child. And by the way, in which Jesus spoke the verse in John 8:44. But the comment that sparked his denunciation was made in verse 41, where the Pharisees said, "We be not born of fornication." The implication was Jesus was a product of fornication. What a horrible insinuation. It was a lie. And you can bear false witness by insinuation, by the tone of your voice, even by the arcing of your eyebrows, that you can bear false witness by which you don't say. And so, upholding integrity in a culture of deceit. Oh, my goodness, man. When we go through this, we can refuse to lie. We can be the reliable a person of a faithful witness, amen. What it means to be a person who not only believes the truth, but who lives it. One of the faithful witnesses in the Old Testament prophet was Micaiah. If you want an example your children can model after themselves, here it is. Boy, you want a hero to hold up to the teenagers as you teach them to stand for the truth? Micaiah is your man. He lived in the days of the wicked king Ahab of Israel, the husband of the infamous Jezebel, and Jehoshaphat, the good king of Judah. And when we look at 1 Kings 22, we can draw principles concerning what it takes to be a faithful witness and to stand for the truth, praise God. Oh, I tell you, I thank God when we look as we try the vanishing of an unchanging truth in this walks of life, praise God, that we can do. And so, it's better to be divided by truth than united in error, amen. And so, I thank God, it's better to tell the truth that hurts and then heals than to tell a lie that comforts and then kills, amen. And so, each and every one of us, when we look and we realize, Dr. Robert G. Lee once said, it's better to be called cruel for being kind than to be called kind for being cruel. Rough truth is better than polished falsehood. And so, I'm glad that when we look and realize that it's better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Micaiah, Ahab said of Micaiah, he said, I hate him. But the Apostle Paul told the Galatians the truth. And then he said, I asked him, I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. You need to help your children understand that if they tell the truth, they may not get elected most popular at school. Children are often thrown for a big loss by this because they tend to judge things in terms of what's fair, and this world is seldom fair. But if they tell the truth and suffer for it, they are in good company because the Lord Jesus told the truth and his enemies crucified him for it. But I know that when we look, it's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude. 400-1 was pretty good odds, but that's what Micaiah faced. We need to remember that the majority is frequently wrong. Every one of those faithless preachers in Ahab's court was wrong. Think of Noah, who began to preach with the wrath of God in the foreground and the ring of hammers in the background. Noah and his family stood alone, went into an ark, a minority, only a few of them, but they came out a majority. Don't think that the example of Micaiah is far removed from you and your children. You may be called on to stand alone for truth just as he was, and your children may have to stand alone for truth in their classrooms, and we need to arm ourselves with the truth and prepare our children to stand for it. Hallelujah. And so, I'm glad that it's better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. I'm glad that when we go through life, here we look and realize, do you want to be a faithful witness to the truth and raise children that'll stand for the truth in this generation? Then say it like Micaiah did. Is the Lord liveth? What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Amen. And so, I'm glad we see today as we look and realize that secondly, we see the peril of deceptive words. Because as he said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The influence of falsehood traces back to the father of Satan himself and all of the things that he does that we just talked about. But I'm glad that that is the thing of deceptive words that we see out there. Amen. When you go out to school, to the workplace, into the government, and you tell them the absolute truth that they need to hear. Because there is a crying need in America today for families that know the truth, believe the truth, love the truth, teach the truth, speak the truth, share the truth. A home that's not built on truth will crumble. And so, I'm glad we need to take these things and teach them and talk about them to our children so that they may go out to the school, to the workplace, to the government and permeate society with that truth. That is, we've got to overcome the peril of all of those deceptive words that are out there in the world right now. And I'm glad that each and every one of us, the thing that we need to do to overcome the peril of deceptive words is teach by precept. We teach them by precept. Get out God's word and show your children what it says about telling the truth. Teach them God's precept. Show your kids that when they tell a lie, they're acting like the devil. And be sure to show them that when they tell the truth, they're acting like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Teach by precept. Amen. Teach by example. Be a godly example. I tell you, I cannot say it well enough, strong enough. Dad, be a father that tells the truth. One of the grandest things that happened in America is a movement for the Promise Keepers. Amen. You might say there are bad things about them, but they've had a great thing that they've done over past days, which is calling men to keep their promises to the families and to God. Both fathers and mothers need to be able to say to their children, God says that we're not to lie. And as he is my witness and my helper, we will not lie. We'll keep the word. We'll fail in many ways and still come out on the plus side with your children, because when you fail to keep your word, if you fail to tell your children the truth, I promise you that your home is on a road to disaster. We cannot emphasize enough how important it is to have fathers that tell the truth. Christian fathers and mothers, if you've ever made a promise to your child and failed to keep it, ask that child for forgiveness, because one day all of the children that have come together, as they asked, have I ever promised you anything that I didn't do? Boy, I'm going to tell you something. We need to be someone that keeps our word to them, praise God, and let them know that we are about the truth and telling the truth. And so I'm glad that we uphold integrity in a culture of deceit. Amen. Listen, teach your children by precept. Amen. How do we take these steps that we've talked about and teach them to our children so that they might go out to the school, to the workplace, to the government, and permeate the society with truth? Amen. Well, not only by teaching by precept, not only by teaching by example, but teaching by discipline. Teach these truth by discipline. I'm glad the three deadly D's our kids knew about when they were growing up, three things they knew their parents would not put up with. The first is deliberate disobedience. A child can disobey in a way that's not arrogant or deliberate, but in those cases, you have to deal gently with that child. But when it's deliberate, when it's disobedient, you must deal with that immediately and decisively. Secondly, not only disobedience, but defiance, because disrespectful attitude, defiant disrespect for parental authority or any authority for that matter. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what your school teacher tells you. Your mom and dad is the mom and dad. And they're the mom and dad of the Word of God. Amen. And so, that third is dishonesty. Not only disobedience, defiance, but dishonesty. Because the ninth commandment, amen, as we're counting down from the top, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 3, 4, 2, 1, it means anything. It means that we cannot let our children get away with lying. And God's judgment is sure on those who bear false witness. And we can spare our children God's discipline by dealing immediately, kindly, and yet sternly with that dishonesty. And if we want our homes to be successful, we must go back to God's blueprint for the home. We must lay the foundation of God's holy commandments and take the Ten Commandments one at a time. Measure your own life by them. Teach them to your children. Boy, I thank God when you turn the commandments into commitments, that's when we get to our third part. Not only the vanishing of unchanging truth, the peril of deceptive words, but lastly in closing, the triumph of a faithful witness. Just like Micaiah, I'm glad in the midst of deceit, God raises faithful witnesses like Micaiah who boldly declare the truth. And Micaiah stood alone against a tide of falsehood, demonstrating the courage to speak what God revealed. His example teaches that it's better to stand for truth, even if it leads to temporary discomfort. And so, establish firm penalties for lying and don't let a lie pass without dealing with it, amen. Reward truth-telling with sincere appreciation, amen. I'm glad we're upholding integrity in a culture of deceit. Gathers things of importance of telling the truth that have music and videos, amen. And then try to avoid exaggerating with your little ones and help them not to exaggerate. I'm glad when we look, don't make promises that you can't keep. Reward truthfulness above just about anything else your teens do right. Amen. And help them deal with the reality that the world does not always reward the truth. Amen. And so, I'm glad as I close out, when we talked about the vanishing of unchanging truth, the peril of deceptive words, and the triumph of a faithful witness. As we navigate a world filled with deception, let us remember the words of wisdom from Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. May we strive to be counted among the trustworthy, bearing witness to the unchanging truth of a faithful God. Father, we thank you for the timeless truth found in your word. And Lord, as we get ready, Lord, to many people as they hear this, Lord, they may be going their separate ways. May your spirit guide us to walk in integrity and uphold your truth in all circumstances. Grant us the strength to be faithful witnesses, even when faced with opposition. May your name be glorified in our words and actions in the marvelous mighty names of Jesus Christ. Amen.